Welcome to Whitehall's monthly audio program. We're going to be introducing a new key statistic this month. What's a key statistic? Well, there are only a few of these, and we hold them here at Whitehall in very high regard because they tell us so much about a practice. In the past, we've talked about the importance of the monthly referral statistic and what it reveals about the level of patient-perceived consumerism offered by a practice. We've talked about case average and all that it teaches about your ability to communicate value to your patients. On this month's recording, we're going to be looking at the third key statistic used to analyze blocked or diminished practices. I'm talking about missed appointments. The problem of missed appointments is not new to our industry or to the consultants here at Whitehall. But after today, you're going to find yourself looking at this topic in a completely different light. As I said, this is a key statistic in that it tells far more about you and your practice than you could possibly have imagined. For the past few months, we've been able to include more than one message on our Q&A section of the recording. This month, we're not only going to use the entire session for one message, we're actually going to run over onto next month's CD in order to complete the topic. And before I forget, I want to get some Whitehall business out of the way. As many of you know, we're going to be doing four of the new Financial Freedom Seminars during the last 4 months of 2005. We've been asked if this seminar has changed, and are we going to give it again in 2006? Currently, we have no plan to give the seminar in 2006. If you want to attend the presentation, you need to get on the list for the 2005 meetings. So what's changed? Enough that I boldly promise every attendee that I would help them find an additional $1 million of real, spendable net worth in their existing practice. Now, I know you're wondering how I'm going to do that. Well, first of all, I am. Why am I not charging $100,000 in tuition if I'm really going to hand out a $1 million idea that will apply to every attendee? First of all, yes, I am going to be handing out $1 million in personal net worth ideas to every attendee. It's not some practice building or overhead cutting idea. It's not about taking more investment risk. And to answer your question about why I'm not charging $100,000 or more per attendee, it's this simple. You don't believe I can do it. I'm going to give these four seminars for the old financial freedom price, honoring refresher doctor rates, etc. And after teaching these four 2005 seminars, the word's going to get out that I was dead serious about my $1 million claim. After that, if every seminar leader in the country isn't stealing the information, I just might sell the program for $100,000. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. The seminar is built around the same principles of financial conservatism and avoiding risk as before. And I'll be teaching a little over half the seminar. The other presenters are specialists in their field and are each armed with ideas worth well in excess of $1 million to each doctor that's attending. I've made this $1 million claim, and I'm also backing it up with an unusual guarantee. If you don't think I delivered on my $1 million promise, I'll not only refund your tuition, I'll match the refund with what we call Whitehall dollars. That's money you can use toward any Whitehall product or service. I don't really know how it can get any better. The seminar is going to be powerfully presented and filled with what I call wealth accelerators. I hope you can make it. The 2005 dates are on our website. If you knew what I knew about what we're going to be presenting, about what you're going to hear, you would not miss this for the world. All right, we were talking about missed appointments. When I use that term, or when I use it in reference to your own practice, your first response is to say, how can I stop it? That is, how can I stop missed appointments? Before we're done with both of these monthly CDs, you're going to know exactly how you can stop missed appointments. My hope for you, though, is that before you set out to stop them, you'll take time to understand them. That is, to understand what they're trying to tell you. No, I'm not just talking about the poor consumerism and weak front desk scripts that tend to kill referrals. I'm talking about the fact that patients that miss appointments actually represent a group of would-be prospective patients that you'll never meet unless you actually take the time to understand their motives and their behavior. That is, the behavior that caused them to either not show up for the appointment they make, or more revealing, to not make an appointment to begin with. This first recording, the one that you're now listening to, will enable you to accurately identify and analyze your missed appointment problem. The second recording, the one you'll be receiving next month, will lay out a step-by-step system for stopping missed appointments. Now, both recordings are essential to eliminate missed appointments. Without knowing the nature of your missed appointment problem, it's impossible to select the right system to fix it. Fixing a serious missed appointment problem will mean looking at some of the most fundamental practice systems, some that you would normally think have little to do with a patient scheduling or missing an appointment. After this recording, you're going to realize that missed appointments are just the tip of the iceberg. Here at Whitehall, we put almost as much weight on the missed appointment statistic in a practice as we do on the monthly referral number, and that's saying a lot. You see, missed appointments are like termites in your house. If there's one that you see, there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, that you don't see. With missed appointments, you're going to find that for every one missed appointment, there are two other classes of lost prospect that never even made it onto your schedule. That is, classes of patients. I'm going to show you who they are and how to spot them. A missed appointment is little more than a snapshot of a process that's silently occurring in your practice every single day. Each morning, prospective patients wake up suddenly realizing that they need your help. They check their own memory bank to see if someone has referred them. When they can't think of someone to call for a reference, they get out a rumpled-up mailer you sent them 6 months ago, or maybe they turn to the yellow pages. When they open those yellow pages and see your ad, they decide if your practice appears to be what they're looking for. If not, well, then you lost them right off the bat. If they do call, well, the dance begins. Based on your practice's immediate availability, the verbal skills of your receptionist, that is including her ability to answer the difficult questions relating to prices and your insurance participation, well, this person may actually go on and schedule an appointment. Based on how the patient feels after putting down the receiver, they may decide your practice doesn't sound like a fit after all. This can happen even if the caller did make an appointment. In other words, this is going to become a no-show. They might schedule from this call, come into your office, and then drop out after hearing the doctor's recommendations or prices or bad news about their insurance coverage, etc. In other words, the patient's journey toward your office begins much like that of millions of newly hatched crocodiles that crawl out of the egg and begin that treacherous swim toward adulthood. Only one in thousands survives the first week of life. They're eaten by everything from birds to fish to even other crocodiles. This is a common reproductive pattern in nature. Certain species survive by hatching thousands of offspring for every one that will grow to adulthood. Stopping missed appointments only addresses that small percentage of people who start the swim toward your office each day and actually make it far enough to ask for an appointment. On this recording, I'm going to dig deeper than just working to make sure that each caller to the practice actually crosses the threshold of the clinic. That's really not that difficult. I want to look at why hundreds of prospective patients set out toward your practice and are then eaten along the way. They're eaten by competitors, by insurance companies, eaten by the confusion and chaos of their own hectic lives. They're eaten by the weakness of your receptionist's poor verbal skills or lack of her interest in reaching out to every new caller to the practice. Some fall prey to poor peak time schedule availability. I want to extend the missed appointment discussion beyond the prospective new patient no-show. I want it to include every patient lost to the practice, even those who never called the office but would have if your marketing materials had been compelling. Missed appointments are the only visible evidence that you're ever going to see that indicates this prospective patient's swim to the sea or swim to your clinic isn't going well. When I hear a doctor or reception staff member complain about no-shows, I'm concerned. Some of you have gone to the trouble of calculating your hourly production. That is, your total monthly gross divided by the total hours worked each month. This lets you know what your time's worth. You should probably take this one step farther and calculate the hourly cost of doing business in your clinic or your hourly overhead. I'd suggest you take the time to do just that. Take last year's income statement, subtract out any costs that really represent benefits to you, the owner. Take this annual operating cost and divide it by the number of hours the clinic was open for business last year. It's only after doing this calculation that you can quantify the cost of missed appointments. The national no-show average is around 15%. I found statistics ranging from 10% to 23%. But it looks to me like 15 is the norm, and it certainly lines up with my own experience with the doctors we work with. Clinics that use the techniques and the clinic philosophy that I'm going to teach you on this program can bring this down to less than 5%. As always, there's going to be trade-offs. You're going to have to invest team hours in working the systems that I'm going to show you, and yes, that does cost money. That's why you have to be clear on the economic cost of the no-show. It's not just the hourly overhead that you have now and no one to charge it for. It's the lost production that really cuts into your net income. If you're producing $500 an hour and it costs you $150 an hour for overhead, never forget that the no-show cost you $650, not the $150 of overhead. Keep in mind, that's just the people who manage to get on the schedule and then fall off. There's two more invisible no-shows that I'm going to describe later. That's the hatchling patients that didn't even make the swim to your appointment schedule. For now, we're going to focus on the prospective patients that actually do make it onto the schedule. Even that one group, patients that schedule and then no-show, are actually made up of subgroups. For example, it's important to classify no-show patients by which visit they routinely miss, like the first visit, second visit, or later, and by the nature or source of the prospect, referral, advertising, walk-in, etc. When you can answer these two questions, that is, which visit they're missing and where they come from, you're a lot closer to solving the no-show mystery. This is what we call your no-show or cancellation profile. Which visit and what kind of patient are you losing? There are two specific practice systems that should be examined based on your no-show profile findings. Those designed to inspire patients to want your care, that is, systems that are designed to inspire patients to want your care, and those designed to manage those who claim to already be inspired by your care or your service. If you've got what it takes to inspire the patient, that is, to make them want to be in the clinic in the first place, then it just comes down to systems that manage the patient's own lack of systems. In other words, the patient's disorganization or forgetfulness. Let's go back to the two questions we ask about your profile. That is, what kind of patient misses and on which visit? Once we know your cancellation profile, we can pinpoint the problem and therefore fix it. First, is there a particular visit where the cancellation occurs? Let's suppose it's the first visit. If it's a new patient or the first visit, the problem probably isn't that they didn't like the doctor or what the doctor said to them. They never got to meet the doctor to begin with. The most common missed appointment is the new patient. The reason this person misses their appointment is because they were never a patient to begin with. Until a person walks through the door of the clinic, you'd do well to think of them as something other than a new patient. When the caller's source for finding the practice is something other than a direct patient referral, we refer to this group as prospects, not new patients. And specifically, if they call because of an advertisement we're running, we refer to them as a lead. This brings up a good point, and it's that there really are two classes of prospective new patients calling our practices. One, those who are sincere about keeping their appointment when they call. And two, those who have made an appointment but are still holding out their options to find a practice closer to their home or available at a sooner, more convenient time, etc. We make this distinction because it reminds us that the caller will almost always pose as a sincere new patient. That way they can get information out of us, or they think they will get information out of us. In the caller's mind, however, they may still consider their options open. Someone other than a strong direct referral from another patient should not be treated as a solid new patient. Oh, we'll play along with the charade. We'll give them an appointment time and collect pertinent information just as we would a sincere new patient. But we should remain vigilant in applying the appointment compliance system that we're going to be teaching later. Never forget, a non-referred prospective new patient caller has literally to be reached out to in order to secure them. There are specific verbal skills necessary to successfully reach out to this class of caller. Those of you who have undergone the Jay Geyer training from the Scheduling Institute, you already know the importance of transitioning the patient. This is where you shift control from the patient who's asking all sorts of difficult questions. You shift the control to the receptionist. This is done with simple questions like, how did you hear about our office? Or was your call inspired by our website? Just something to get the control back to the receptionist. You then offer the patient what Jay calls the dual alternative close. We have an opening this afternoon or another tomorrow. Would one of these be convenient for you? This information was all shared in our recorded interview with Jay several months ago. If you missed that program for some reason, call the Whitehall office and get a copy. I'm going to assume that you have the verbal technology mentioned by Jay Geyer on that recording. Because of that, there's no need to repeat it now. The focus of Jay's work is to get people onto the appointment schedule once they've called the office. It actually takes the Jay Geyer technology to bring the well-intended prospect across the line. That is, the person who, though not referred, is serious about becoming a patient. For the prospect that disguises themselves as the well-intended, you're going to have to take it up a notch. We often refer to the non-well-intended as shoppers. I realize that most of you think that you or your staff would be able to spot a shopper. Aren't they the ones that ask the dumb questions about prices or procedures they don't understand? No, that's a price shopper. Anyone can spot a price shopper. It's the other class of shoppers that you may not be picking up on. They are convenience shoppers and compassion shoppers.